People, we're back. Welcome back to 10 Things I Hate About an Outlander podcast. We've had a really lovely break and now we're back with absolute gusto for season 7. We hope you're enjoying the season as much as we are, and we're really looking forward to discussing the first two episodes, A Life Well Lost and The Happiest Place on Earth. Enjoy.
We all have our favourite shows, but there's always something that comes along that means you like it a little less. The technical term is the Scrappy-Doo effect. Two friends create a safe space to talk about their favourite show, Outlander, all the things they love about it and some of the things they hate. Although we all love Outlander, there are things we hate. Admit it, there's always something. So we've created a safe space, a space for all Outlander lovers to share their dark secrets, but mainly it's a space to share ours. Every week, we'll discuss episodes, their themes, feminism, what we love, and every week we'll talk about something we hate. Roger. Yep, we hate him. But let's be clear, we don't hate Rick Rankin. We have a clear grasp on reality. So join us, gentle viewer. Join Sharon and Ruth, two England-based Outlander fans, as they discuss love, hate, and time travel.
Back finally.
Hello everybody, welcome back to season 7. Feels like we've been not doing the podcast for as long as Outlander lasted.
It really does. Feels like such a long time. Yeah. We're kind of getting back, familiarizing ourselves with everything.
Yeah, we were slightly more delayed than we intended due to holidays and then just work and some personal, my mum was unwell, so we've just been nudging it back longer than we intended, and now we're already starting to record season 7 as it goes on a mid-season break. So it shows how behind we've got.
Yeah, but it is actually a good time to start recording then, because there's a bit of a break and we can get the episodes out when there's another Droughtlander again.
Exactly.
Which is unintentionally good timing. Hope you've all enjoyed the last few episodes. We've had such an amazing response to episode 16, which has been so much fun.
Wild.
So much engagement.
You're all deviants. You're all deviants. That's the only conclusion we can make.
Well, I'm glad, because it was so much fun to record it. So I'm so glad that everyone's really enjoyed it.
I feel like we have to do another one. Maybe a Halloween sex special, a Samhain sex special.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because we started the podcast on Samhain, so that feels like it does need another special.
Nice anniversary,
like it's appropriate. Our anniversary, for sure. And so we're changing it up a little as well this time, because usually we do half seasons and so two episodes of the podcast for every season of Outlander. But we're going to change it up to try and get episodes out regularly, but still have some content. So we're going to do two episodes of a season 7 at the moment per podcast. So we're going to be doing, for this one, A Life Well Lost and The Happiest Place on Earth, which would have just been out about five weeks ago or something. And so we're just basically opening with Claire's being hung. So we're at Jamie's thoughts or intrusive thoughts of what might be happening to Claire, and then moving into saving her and that kind of that journey with Tom Christie. And then we've got episode 2 with Bree giving birth. But does something happen before that?
Alan Christie confessing.
Oh, the Alan Christie thing.
Bree giving birth and then realising that and then baby Mandy is unwell and they have to go back to the future. I've been trying to avoid saying that for the entire podcast.
Yes, you get it in.
Yes,
good. I appreciate, listener. I am very childish. and then we had the return of Windigo Donna. And I mean, it starts with Claire being hung and it ends with an explosion. And that's just in two episodes.
I know.
This series is wild.
It's wild. I have to say, I am really enjoying it. I'm so hooked on it. Every time an episode ends, I'm desperate to see the next one. And I haven't felt, season six was pretty intense. But it's just, there's so much happening. And what's unusual is that we haven't seen as much as of Jamie and Claire. And usually when that happens, I'm not as hooked on.
Yes, I agree.
The intensity of it, and I am in this season. It's been so much fun. The characters are just all have something interesting happening to them. The quality of the recording, it's always so high, but it's just a reminder because we're going through different times and spaces. Mm. So the production value is just so high.
Yeah,
and that's really evident in how it's keeping us really interested. Yeah. So the opening scene is pretty intense. Like you're just like, no, it does get you obviously hooked in really quickly. Yeah, exactly. And then it pans to Claire or to Jamie and his greatest fears, in his mind. And, we also have a change in the opening music, of course. Last time we were not happy with the male singer,
and the character of the song changing gender as well. I mean, I would imagine in Florida, you know, they'd be revoking some kind of law to prevent that to happen. But back to a female character, female singer. And I think it works, and obviously very sad as well with it being Sinead O'Connor and her passing away recently. But I think she was exactly the right person to choose because her style of singing is so haunting
and really haunting.
It kind of needs that kind of haunting. And so I really liked it, and really liked her rendition of it as well.
Really liked it, and what was so moving about it was that when it was released to come out months ago, Ruth messaged me and she was like, oh my god, what do you think of this? This is really exciting. And we were both just so excited about it being seeing someone like her. Sorry, my phone just dinged right next to me. Silly. Really important that for, I think we both felt that having a female singer was just really important for the whole storyline and meaning behind it.
Just the feel of the programme, I think it's important. I know we have central male characters, but, you know, the narrative has always been driven by the female character. Although I might need to talk about season 7, introduction of a lot of new characters, and I'm not happy about some of them. I'm just going to say that.
Yes, it will come off. Although we don't see much of them in the first two episodes.
No, we don't in the first two episodes. No.
It just feels like one drama after another. It was just incredible. And we've got like, obviously, I'm glad they didn't drag it out for so long.
Yes,
like Jamie and Claire being apart.
Yeah.
I was really glad that they were together relatively quickly. We had a little bit of drama and we were like, and we were talking about it before, but we were like, what's going on with Tom Christie?
I feel like we need to spend quite a bit of time talking about this because I think it took us, I mean, I'm pretty good at reading characters and I was genuinely taken by surprise him declaring his love for Claire.
Yeah.
And then sacrificing himself for her. And so that was quite surprising. But what I didn't particularly like was kind of us, like, give him being redeemed and being
made sympathetic. I just kind of thought, he's a bit of a dick, and I don't see why we should be allowing that to happen.
Everything we find out is, because we find out so much additional stuff so quickly. Right. Like, we already knew he was a complete asshole for what he did to Malva, and just general. And I know there was, they did have a random separate relationship, and obviously there was all his hatred for Jamie and his resentment of Jamie, or maybe the hatred is a strong word, but you know, he always just, I don't know, he was always just put off by him. And then, but then with Claire, you were like, oh, there's this kind of, one day he's agreeing with her and then another day he's absolutely outraged by her. Yeah. And then we're just like, whoa, blindsided by something.
Exactly. I mean, and I think for me, the thing that I found was, you know, him, where he's in the ship's cabin explaining to Claire about why he loves her and about his wife and Malva, and almost like we are supposed to kind of sympathize with him because his wife slept with his brother and in his words was a witch. I'm doing air quotes, listeners, yet again the air quotes are back, and his justification for treating Malva poorly was that he thought she was a witch. It's like, she was a child.
Yeah.
You know.
Really, just a child.
And he, you know, we know in the past series he beat her. And so I just feel like we are creating excuses for a domestic abuser. And I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
I don't know why the writers wanted him to die a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
A hero.
No.
It was all very confusing.
Yeah. I did not like, unless there is something from season six, because obviously they cut them. There was a lot, I think, squished into season six and probably a lot missed out because it was a shorter season. But mostly, I just think he wasn't set up as a sympathetic character in season six, and now all of a sudden we are supposed to sympathise with him. And I think it's fair enough, you know, I like complex characters. I don't like things being presented necessarily in a binary, as we often do in Outlander, of people being bad and good.
Yeah. But
I don't think we have created that complexity in him, and I still think like Claire doesn't challenge his the way he talks about Malva and his wife as justification for her for them dying, kind of thing. So I don't see. I just don't think we. I think that's my biggest gripe about Tom Christie. Not just the 180 of, oh, he's in love with Claire, but the fact that we are supposed to in some way be sympathetic towards him,
because he's also not remorseful about what his behavior. So you're just like, it's not like he's coming out and going, oh, I realize, you know, what I've done wrong. It's just like he's just telling her what he did, and they're like,
and the only reason he's doing what he's doing is because he loves, I'm air quoting again, loves Claire. Yeah. It's the only reason that he's doing. Is saving her, and that's, I don't know, it just all feels a bit
right. There must be some guilt as well, because he let it happen when he knew knew what it was wrong. But so that was all a bit nuts. And I mean, what was enjoyable about it was Jamie's sympathy towards him. I think that was quite funny when he's like, I know you're I know what it's like to be in love with Claire. So I thought that brought just some comedic value to it. He's like, yeah, I understand that. So yeah, my sympathies. That interesting scene between them when he asks Jamie what he'd say at his funeral. I thought was an unusual dynamic between them that's never been there before. because it's always been just such a strained relationship.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was, although why Jamie keeps offering the protection of his body out left, right and center is beyond me. Like, Jamie, can you please stop handing yourself over at the drop of a hat?
Stop trying to save people who don't deserve being saved.
It's ridiculous. Give the protection of my body as well. No, Jamie, no. But that the reuniting of Jamie and Claire was absolutely brilliant. It was great.
I just really liked how it was even shot and staged. Like, it was like something out of a fairy tale, like where they're both in at different points, like coming out, emerging out of the mist.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really,
really good. It's never a letdown when they reunite. It's not exactly what you've been waiting for. And then that comedic value of the soldier there or the officer or whatever, being like, you can't do that. it's quite funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is not permitted or whatever.
I really like that. I thought that was really well done. And I think the really good scene in episode one is where once Jamie knows, because I didn't clock the significance of the horse when he sees the horse. I didn't clock that was Brown's horse.
Clocked that the second time I watched it.
Yeah. And then him like going and exacting his revenge. And I think that's the first time I've ever seen like Jamie genuinely kind of being vengeful. Him and Randall fight, it's still in the context of a battle. It's not Jamie going and finding him and killing him. I just think he's great. I just think, you know, he's so ominous and menacing. And when he says to Brown, you know, like Brown's kind of going, you know, you're not this type of person sort of thing. And Jamie says, any goodness that prevails in me is because of my wife. And you kind of think, oh, that's such an ominous line. Mm. And it's such a great line. But it also really started to make me think, you know, what would Jamie have turned out like if him and Claire hadn't come together? Because actually Jamie is quite a gentle, nice person before they are together. So the fact that he sees himself like he wouldn't have turned out like that without her, I thought that was interesting, like this idea of what would Jamie have become without her
influence. Because he's always quite self-deprecating and Claire's like, she's like, you know, he doesn't give himself enough credit a lot of the time. But it was absolutely, this is something we've been waiting for so long. And like you say, it wasn't really revenge with Randall. And the fact that we don't see him, there's no violence in this scene.
Even better. Yeah.
And the way the fear is reflected in Brown, it was just so good. Like, you just suddenly see him realize, you know, you can see it going, oh,
yeah,
I'm fucked. Like, this isn't.
Yeah. Especially when he says, he goes, oh, you know, my kin will get rid of it. And he's like, and Jamie's already like a step ahead of him. Just that kind of oppressive, this is it. You are, there's no way out of this. It's great.
Yeah, really good. Really interesting. And just the lighting as well, because you see, like, Jamie's half his face is lit up by the fire. Mm. And it's just really clever lighting. That monologue was just so good. And I was waiting for the episode to end and I was like, oh, there's only 2 minutes left. And I was like, oh my God, that was the best 2 minutes. Like, we were literally hooked for every minute of this episode. It was so good. Every single part of it, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. This is just getting so much more exciting. Yeah.
You weren't hooked for every single bit of this episode, because Roger and Bree's storyline was so boring.
It was so dull.
So boring. It's like, just don't show them. just don't show them. I know we had to get that bit in there where Roger is gonna save Windigo and then he changes his mind, yet again proving that he's so annoying. But their bits were so annoying. He was so annoying in this episode one.
He was so irritating. Like, oh, listeners, like when we were writing down like what we hate, or just... we were at like a big like, Roger.
Massive list.
Oh, it was so irritating. It was just
everything he did. The bit where he quotes Muhammad Ali, I literally wanted to punch the screen.
Yeah,
when he quotes Muhammad Ali, that really irritated me. Him kind of apologizing to Bree, so annoying. I just find
when he comes up to her on the beach, so annoying. The whole thing is like, why is he like trying to empathize with this person? And like finding, I mean, you can even see it in Bree's face. Like Bree's just like, what is going on here?
Exhaust.
And it just, I think it just emphasizes as well as we go along that the whole thing is that we just really aren't supposed to love him at all. I don't know. It just feels like every time something like this comes up, there's no way that we're misseeing what Bree's reaction. Like, she's clearly on our side. And it just feels like...
How is she staying with him? So I found their bits the worst.
And they're quite dull.
Just him starting out season 7 in his top level annoyingness.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, even his sort of almost his first lines about where she's going to be with the wives, and he makes some reference to...
Oh my God, he does. It's so annoying.
And it's so sexist.
I feel like I'm throwing you to the wolves, he says.
That was it.
Oh,
and then she says, you mean wives? And he went, is there any difference? And I just thought,
is there any difference? Fuck off.
Have we got Bernard Manning doing this bit of the script?
Oh.
Sorry, American listeners or younger listeners. Just Google Bernard Manning. It was an awful 1970s sexist, racist British comic.
It was horrible.
I just felt like this whole of episode one had reminded me how Roger is just the worst.
Yeah, the worst. He was the worst. I just didn't, the minute that came out, and then, like you say, then on the beach, excuse me, miss, you have time to talk about someone who loves you very much. Fuck off, Roger. Yeah, that was like really irritating. So yeah, you're right. Their storyline, it was Claire and Jamie that really kept us hooked, and young Ian.
Yeah, young Ian, as usual, being awesome.
Yeah, yeah. All of that, really fun, and just a brilliant opening episode. Just so good. There was just nothing dull about it when it came to Claire and Jamie's story.
Yeah, it was great.
Really, really good.
It was great.
And then we're kind of brought into the very, very incredibly dramatic opening of episode 2. I texted Ruth going, oh my, I'm 8 minutes in and I can't breathe. This is insane.
I mean, it's been episode 1 and 2 have been full on. That opener for episode 2, I thought the actor who played Alan Christie was amazing.
I thought he was so good.
He was always like, he always played the character as a bit kind of snivelling and odd in season 6. But, the way he delivers the line, and the line that basically gives you the clue that he was in an incestuous relationship with his sister, is just thrown away. Just in there. And you, your brain's going, what did he just say? at the same time that Claire's face is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It was so perfectly done.
So perfectly so done. Good. And she's just like, the realization horror on her face is suddenly like, oh my God. And you can just see everything clicking into place. And he's just going down this massive monologue and you're like, oh my God, it just gets more and more and more. And suddenly everything's just tied up in a bow.
Yeah.
For that whole storyline within those few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was pretty epic.
Yeah. But what it does, again, going back to like Tom Christie's kind of redemptive bit in episode one, to me, it just showed that he doesn't deserve that redemption because Malva was the real victim in that family, you know, sexually abused by her brother, physically abused by her father, and eventually murdered by one of her own family. So it was great. And young Ian killing him, young Ian is such a badass. Such a badass is great.
He was so good.
I thought that was really good. It was really good. But then the slightly comedic, like where they're digging, where they're burying it, and then there's like crack of twigs, and they're like literally like mid shovel, looking over, and there's Mrs. Bug. Yeah,
and wild. I was like, my first reaction was like, oh Jesus, we're going back now to Claire being put away for being a murderer again.
Exactly.
And then suddenly she's like getting involved. It was hilarious.
Yeah. It was funny.
And random. So it was just so random. It was brilliant. But yeah, what an opening. My God, the title sequence hadn't even come up and we're already going, what's happening here?
Yeah, exactly.
And then straight away we're into Bree giving birth. So yeah, it was all a bit, it's just all very dramatic. And we get a little bit of loveliness there with witnessing Claire and Jamie being grandparents again.
Yeah, so we have, Bree giving birth. And, yeah, I liked their two little scenes of like Jamie showing Mandy the horses and Claire showing her surgery. I thought both of them were really lovely. I thought their scenes of like being proud and excited about being grandparents were really lovely. And then obviously we get like, 35 seconds of niceness before the next drama begins, which is obviously discovering that Mandy has got a heart problem. And if she doesn't go, or if she can't be saved in the 18th century.
In the past.
So they have to go back to what is the 1970s, I'm assuming, when they go back.
That was really emotional. I was watching that again today and I just found the whole thing just really moving.
Yeah, I did. I thought they did the whole, like, not just an ill child and what you do about that, but like dealing with the fact that they're never going to see each other again. And what that means. And I thought that was, really moving, especially that scene where Claire and Jamie are kind of consoling each other sat on the bed. And she's sobbing. I just think it's just so good. Those two are so good together.
Yeah, it was so good. It was just like, you could see just at the start, she kind of just slowly climbs on top of him and then just can't contain anything. It was almost like she's just trying to do something with her emotions. When he's just, he's like, get all your grief out and I'll be here. I'll be waiting for you here.
Yeah.
Oh God, she's just, when she's in pain and grieving, she's just, her portrayal of it is just really heartbreaking. Like she just was crumbling in his arms. And I just found that scene just incredibly emotional. It was so good.
I did. I thought it was really lovely, really well done. Just how they, you know, just how they dealt with the whole thing. I thought, I quite liked the fact that they didn't kind of like the actual practicalities of them going back through the stones was done. It was more about what you do with that emotion of losing your family and losing one another. I thought was really, really brilliantly done, really profound.
And you see that scene, there was like that lovely scene with Bree and Jamie when, you know, she's like, to me, you're magic. And we rarely see that kind of tenderness with the two of them.
Yes, yes.
So it was really lovely to witness that. And, you know, something that obviously we've remarked on this before, how Jamie has lost out on all of that, like raising his own child or any of his children, something he's craved and never been able to do. But so we're always like looking for these little hints almost.
Yeah, exactly.
What's been formed and bonded between them. And I just thought that was just such a lovely ending to that.
Yeah, I agree.
To that kind of story. And just the way she phrases it, to me, your magic. And then when they say goodbye at the stones, I thought he was very good. And he's like, I don't have the words. And that was all very, it was very quick.
And then
suddenly they're gone and they're all left to grieve and kind of pick up the pieces. And Claire does make one remark about the fact that they also don't have Marcelly and Fergus.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of is listing off the people that they're without at the moment. And
But I'm just going to say this. The writers could do something about that. There's literally no reason why Marcelly and Fergus can't be there. That's all I'm saying.
Season 7 devastating.
Is lacking because they're not in it, in my opinion.
It is. Yeah.
So I found that quite irksome. So then we also had William as an adult coming back into this. So we're seeing him for the first time and Jamie talks about how, you know, seeing William and Bree together, even though they don't know, even though they can't talk about being siblings, was important for him. I don't know. William's not in this very much, so I will save my opinions for our next episode where he does appear more.
But it was nice to see Lord John again. It's always nice
it was good that he was in.
His face once again. Lord John appears for 2 minutes and he like sweeps in and saves the day of like, you know, he just makes these really grand sweeping gestures. Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, here. Take this massive sapphire.
This massive jewel, which I feel that they should probably have just maybe split into pieces.
I know, it's enormous.
It's huge. Why have you wasted it?
It's like a crown jewel. It's so big.
Exactly. But he helps out by giving Jamie back the jewel that he gave him back when they first met each other in prison. And I think that was really good. It's that, you know, like people keep making jokes about Claire and Jamie not aging, and you know the fact that they're supposed to be like nearly 60 now. But John is the same; he must be the same age as them.
I know what he said 20 years ago. I was like, oh, he isn't even a strand, like not a strand. Also, can I just bring that up about the hair? Like, what I found so hilarious in episode 1 was Tom Christie is literally losing his reason and his mind. Like, his hair he's bedraggled. It's like all falling out everywhere. He's like literally like a broken man. And Jamie is just like perfect.
Like, I've got my product.
Not a strand of hair in a place.
Yeah, my ponytail's nice and neat.
And he's supposed to be like, you know, roaming the wilderness looking for Claire. And he's like, not so much as a strand. That wig is good and tight. I just found that hilarious. But I mean, the same with Lord John. He is literally not aged today. Not a day.
They were that was a really good addition to the episode, and also introducing, like, you know, foreshadowing that William is there to fight for the British. So, you know, we've in episode 1 and 2, we don't really talk about the war that much. It's just kind of burbling in the background. But you're given that sort of foreshadowing that they're going to be on opposite sides of the fight.
Yeah.
Because William is going to fight for the British. So I think that was like a good seed to sow, as it were.
But I love the way Bree, like, never really steps away from her modern, like, her kind of, like, present day thoughts and feelings, like, even around William. Like, I can see her with John because John's used to Claire, but, like, you know, she's just like, oh, well, someone once told me. And the same with, she's like, would you not tell him about Da? Yeah. And she goes into all her very, like, interesting, like, accepted Frank. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, Frank and all that. Very interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was good. But then I think, you know, the most fateful thing that anybody can say in a program, Claire does when they go back to the Ridge, and she says, you know, it really is the happiest place on earth. It's like, oh dear.
Yeah. Oh, it's all going to shit.
Well, you've just ruined it now, haven't you, Claire? You might as well have, just poured petrol on yourself.
I did
quite like that little bit of, like, you know, normalcy that they do. But I also thought there was a great comedic bit in there where you're meeting Lizzie and Kezzy and I can't remember what the other one's called, and with the toddler, and the toddler's just started walking, and Jamie says something like, you know, just like his parents, and then just realizes what he said and kind of has this like comedic kind of puzzled look on his face.
Such
a great little bit that he added in. I really liked that.
Yeah, I just love how they're just getting on with their, like, little life, the three of them. It's just so cute, their little family.
I do. And I think that's one of the things, you know, and again, jumping ahead a little bit, that I think is a bit of a shame that we're probably not going to see them again for much more of season 7, because I really like them. I thought that was a really nice, amusing little bit that Jamie did, and then obviously we can't have peace and quiet for too long before more disaster has to strike. I mean, the Murder She Wrote, where, you know, wherever she goes, people are dying. Does nobody ever look at the common factor with Jamie and Claire? Is like, literally, does nobody ever think we can't be near you two? There's always too much drama.
Get out of the Ridge.
Exactly. So we've got Windigo Donna, who turns up because he has tried to go back through the stones, but he did it drunk and it failed. So he wants or thinks that they will have a duel, which obviously we know that they do, because we've had that scene with Jamie where he gave Claire the little jewel for her. So we know that there is one. Although how
they managed to find that when she throws it out the window is beyond me.
Exactly, that's what I thought. I thought, nobody's finding that. Like, when she says, I better go find it, it's like, in the dark, you're not finding that. Not with a candle for light.
Keep blowing out every second.
Yeah, crazy. So we've got Windigo and his mates turning the place upside down. We'll talk more about this in the next episode, but we get what I think is the sudden introduction of a big D different type of character, like characters who've been in it for a few seasons, but all of a sudden they're doing something different. And it's where
the bugs
and the gold. And I know we're going to pick this up in the next episode, but it's just like, what's going on? Where'd this come from? What's happening?
It just comes out of nowhere.
Where's this come from?
It was so random.
Yeah.
Like so random.
Yeah. And I think that's, if I've got any sort of criticism so far of season 7, is we've got a lot of these like little random threads, and the bugs and the girl storyline is one of them that just seems to come out of nowhere. But I quite liked, because we don't often end on a cliffhanger in Outlander. Mm. We might end on something bad has happened, but we usually know what that is. But like this was just the explosion, and then we don't know what's happened to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, because the opening of the next episode then is very different.
Yeah.
And then kind of pick up as we left off. But yeah, even like the Wendigo Donner, and that it's like he's in it and then he's gone again. But obviously there's a point to it. But yeah, he's just so, that he's just so dislikable. I also think
that he's a bit of a nothing character. Do you know what I mean?
Just like even when we were first introduced to him, there was always just something that you're like, oh, what's up with him now? What's going on?
It's just not fleshed out very well, I don't think.
Yeah. He was like, he gives you kind of like little nuggets along the way. But he's just got a massive ego. I don't know. It just, I that's how I felt. Anyway, he's always just a bit, even though like the little bits you get from him, he's just, he won't take any risks for anyone or.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's just very selfish.
But weirdly went back in time to try and save Native Americans.
Yeah. And it's like, why is he hanging out with them then?
Yeah. So I found that, I just found him a little bit not very well written, mostly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So we do end on a bit of a cliffhanger here, hoping that it will all resolve itself, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, great first two action-packed episodes.
Lots of feminist themes coming up as well.
Yeah, I mean, you've already talked about Tom's attitude to his wife and Malva,
and his son as well.
And his son, and just like no thought or reference to the fact that he is the catalyst for why his children have become, so broken, for want of a better word.
The women are property, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Roger being absolutely useless with Windy O'Donnor and making excuses for him, and Bree having absolutely none of it.
Yeah. What choice did he have? Are you joking me? Yeah, we all have a choice, Roger.
I thought that was, I thought that kind of idea of, I think the stuff that we can pick up on this of like men standing by why bad things happen to women.
Is
a lot of that is happening in this first few episodes.
For sure.
And,
there's a lot of that.
Hatred-wise, just all Roger, basically.
Yeah, was all Roger, really. We talked about a lot of it, I think. We talked about him saying, excuse me, do you have time to talk about someone who loves you very much? Really irritating. So there's a lot in there.
There's a lot of things to hate about him. A lot of things. Fashion. Let's
yeah.
We,
We do have some fun, and it's going to get interesting this season. I think if everyone's following along as in the current time of when they're being released, I'm really excited for what's to come. For me, it was her just that opening scene with her hair. I just loved her hair, and I know we said it in the last season as well, but there's these gorgeous strands of grey going through it, and I was so devastated when it all grew out.
The short bob. It looked really good, looked really badass. Then I think clothes wise I really like when she's having the conversation with Alan, her like quilted jacket,
long one.
It's like a shortish jacket, and it's like really neat, tight quilting. I really like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I really like that. And I like that's my main fashion standout, and her hair. I agree. It's disappointing when it starts to grow.
It is. And I just, one thing I noticed going through this, because I think there'll be a bit more fashion coming up as well. And I think they started to do this once Claire got to America. But I just love that Claire, because she's there's so much femininity about her, and she wears such delicate pieces. But I just love these masculine pieces that they're now adding to her wardrobe, like that coat, long coat. And I love that edge that it's giving her style. And it just seems to stand out every time she at least in every episode, I'm finding one piece that I'm like, oh, I love that addition. It's just so edgy and cool.
I agree.
And so I think there's going to be a lot more to talk about as the season progresses.
Yeah.
Which is exciting as always. I think there is it's exciting. I'm really excited. I haven't watched episode 8 yet, actually. I really need to watch that.
Yeah, I watched that this morning. But yeah, I think it's a strong return to form, season 7.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
Definitely.
There's a few things that I'm less happy about, but that's why we created this podcast. It's not just all about how much we hate Roger, although that is quite a big part of it, but it's still about like, what are the things that we don't like or that we don't think are working. But I think generally this season 7 has started really strongly. And I think a big part of it is Katrina Balfe and Sam Heughan, their interactions and their scenes together are so powerful. It feels like a real return to form.
It just doesn't get old, does it?
No.
Seeing the two of them together is so good.
It's brilliant.
It really is. I'm really excited. We're putting stuff up and out in the next, obviously this is going to come out next week when it's out. But just get in touch with us about how you feel about season 7. We'd really love to know like how everyone's feeling about this, and was it as you expected, and was it different to what you thought, and how are you finding the new characters and things like that, because it's really interesting, especially people might have a lot of different ideas if you've read the books, and you'd be like, oh, this is interesting how they've done this.
I agree.
Again, no spoilers, please. Yeah, absolutely. No spoilers.
Yeah, so follow us on Instagram, drop us a note, rate the episodes, and we'll see you again for episode 2.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about the next 2. There's a lot of different stuff happening. So
a lot of stuff.
It'll be a good
more action.
More action, more drama.
More action,
like
more
we
drama.
Like it. See you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon.